As Sean mentioned, and as I mentioned to you, we have been studying about God. We will not be able to exhaust our studies about God. If we do that, then God ceases to be God. God is unlimited. God cannot be just explained in human words. And God cannot be comprehended with the small mind. God is awesome, powerful, and He is bigger than any human language can explain. But He has revealed to us certain things. We call them the attributes or the qualities, the characters of God. So last week we saw God is omniscient. And this week we are going to see God is omnipotent. That means God is all-powerful. That is the subject today. Last week, Annette read a passage for about 7 to 10 minutes. I don't want to go through the same passage again, but it is from Exodus chapter 13, 14, and a little bit of 15, where we see people of Israel who went to Egypt as slaves, and they served there for 400 years. And God, with His outstretched arms and with powerful acts, He brought them out. And as they were coming out, instead of going straight to the promised land, people of Israel were detoured through the desert. If they were to walk to the promised land, it would have taken only 2 weeks to reach the place. But God decided that God was not going to take them through the direct route. Instead, He was going to take them through a longer route, and it was going to be a difficult one. People did not know why God was doing. Moses himself was not really clear why God was taking the people of Israel under His leadership through this desert. But that is the passage we are going to meditate here today. And last week we saw God knew that he was going to take them through a different route. God knew that these people would rebel. God also knew that Pharaoh would change his heart and pursue them. And God knew that He was going to separate the water of Red Sea and take them to the other side. But people did not know God's plan. As a result, they rebelled against God, they shouted at Moses, and also they became distrustful. But at the end, or in retrospect, when they looked back, they said, wow, God had a plan. And in that episode, we read several things like this. I'd like to highlight three passages. One is Exodus chapter 14, verse 15. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? The Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? And 15 verse 25. Then Moses cried out to the Lord. The Lord showed him a piece of wood. That is Exodus 15, 25. Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Then was chapter 17, verse 4. Moses cried out to the Lord, what am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me. In all these three verses, we see Moses crying out to God. You know, the word is a special word. There are several other Hebrew words for crying out. One is kara. But the word here is zakak. The word zakak is a cry of desperation. If someone twisting someone other person's hand, they cry in desperation. It is not a small cry, a loud cry. It is not just one time, but a sustained time of cry, sustained cry, a long cry for a period of time. You know, the word used to in several places. When people go through some kind of unexpected, difficult situation, they cry. That is the cry we read here in these three verses. My question is, why did Moses cry out to God repeatedly? Why did Moses cry out to God repeatedly? He was a leader, and he was leading about 400,000 people,
And he was going before the people. Why did he cry out to God? Moses cried out to God repeatedly because he knew that God was able to handle the crisis that he was not able to handle. You know, if the situation is within our control, we will not cry. But Moses, time and again, in these 3 or 4 chapters, he was pushed to the corner. He was cornered. He came to the end of life. There was no other way to go except crying to God. It was not an ordinary cry. It was not a murmur. But he cried desperately, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me, because there are the army of Pharaohs and there is Red Sea." And he cried. Then when there was no water, he looked to God and he said, "Lord, help me. These people are going to kill me because there is no water." And after that he cried to Lord, "God, you have brought us this place. Give us food." And there was a place, there was no water. In all these places, he cried desperately to God. In all these places, believe it or not, God came through. You know, sometimes we don't cry so that we don't hear from him. But in all these places, he cried desperately. God came through and he spoke. I know several of us have been waiting for a job for a long time. I know several of us have been going through difficulty with relationships. Several of us have been going through difficulty with finance. And several of us going through some of the difficulties we are not able to tell others. Emotional difficulties. The lesson that I learned from all these chapters is that our God is a God who hears our cry. So in Psalm 34, David says, "This poor man cried. The Lord heard him and delivered him from all his troubles." You know, why did Moses cry to God repeatedly? Moses cried to God because he knew that God was able to handle all the situation he was not able to handle. Some of the situations I have highlighted here. Moses was able to, God was able to make a way in the middle of the sea, defying the law of nature. Exodus chapter 14 verse 29. It says, it reads amazing. I'll read it for you here. "But," you know, whenever you read the word "but," that means there was a narrative that has gone. And what you are going to read is contrary to what has gone before. "But the Israelites went through sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. Few minutes back, they were going to kill them. Few minutes back, they were on the other side of the Red Sea, and it was intimidating to them. But now, in verse 29, we see the people have gone to the other side, and they have already crossed the Red Sea in a dry ground, and also they saw the army of Pharaoh being destroyed, and they were on the other side. They were pushed to the corner, they cried, and God was able to do something which defied nature." You know, it says, "Wall of water stood in both the sides." Scientifically, we cannot explain. Irrationally, we cannot explain. How can that happen? Because Moses had only one stick, but he had a God he could cry to. Something else. God was able to change bitter water into sweet water. In verse 22 onwards, Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. This is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and Lord showed him in a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. In the wilderness of Shur, God gave them sweet water to drink. You know, it may be impossible to Moses, it may be impossible to for me and you, but it is not impossible with God. It may be impossible with, you know, our science, but it is not impossible with God. God asked in Jeremiah 29 and 30 and 32, is there anything difficult for God? He can make, He can create, He can break and recreate, because God is powerful. He can change bitter water into sweet water. I don't want to allegorize here, but there are people who go through a difficult experience in workplace, family, between parents and children, and schools. But you should know that the God that you and me believe is able to change your bitter situation into sweet situation. You know, we don't need to just have God just hear and sing some songs and do not let this God work in our lives. He wants to just work in our lives every minute of our time. And I will go, go ahead with our highlights of what God did here. In chapter 17, verse 6, it is a very powerful one. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me because there was no water." The Lord answered Moses, "Walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand the staff which you struck the Nile and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out. I'll come out of it for the people to drink." And recently I saw a National Geographic program. Someone crossed to Saudi Arabia, and they have shot some pictures of a broken, a slit stone and a kind of mark of water just continuously flowing in that desert place. Now for us, we know rock means there is no water. It's a dry place. But for God, He can even break the rock and give water. That is why we believe God is omnipotent. He is all powerful. There is nothing impossible with God. And people were walking in the desert. All the food they brought with them got over. After 2 weeks, 3 weeks, they thought they were going to die in the wilderness because there was no land to sow the seed. There is no well to water the plants because they were just walking. That is called Exodus. They were just moving. And they came to Moses and they said, "Did you bring us here so that we would die? Because there is no water. There is no food." And God said, "Get ready in the evening." They got ready in the evening. They saw the glory of God in the wilderness. And God gave them food called manna from heaven. You know, I have a favorite verse in Isaiah 49, verse 50. It says, "Even the wild animals will listen to me." You know, when God works, He doesn't need some of the conventional, traditional things. When God works, He works miraculously. He can tie the mouth of lion which was not fed for a long time. He can strike the rock and split it, and water can gush out. He can just command, heaven can just throw food for His people to drink. He can command and the Red Sea part and people can just walk across. You know why? Because God is omnipotent God. How many of you believe that? He is omnipotent. In these highlights, there are several highlights in these passages, but one thing, I'd like to just look back and see the passage. What we have read is just tiny bit. They call it minuscules. You just look back and you look at the scripture, what does the scripture teach about God? God is all-powerful. That means He's omnipotent. Can you explain a little bit more of this omnipotence? There is no power greater than the power of God. You can say Alexander, our God is bigger. You can say Augustus Caesar, he is bigger. You can say Darius, he is bigger. You can think of any eastern country or any western country, he is bigger. You can say, oh, Isaac Newton, he is more powerful. You can think of anything, he is bigger. There is no power that is greater than the power of God. And He is all powerful. That means there is nothing impossible with Him. He can create, break. If you read Jeremiah 18, this is what it says. Jeremiah was taken to a potter's house. The potter was just breaking and making and breaking. And he learned a good picture. God has the power to create and recreate. You know, Genesis chapter 1, for critics, it may be a kind of subject of discontent or argument. But for us, it shows the quality of our God, the power of our God, the omnipotence of God. He said, let there be light. There was light. And He said, let there be animals. There were animals. Let there be trees. There were trees. You know why? Because He is able to create things out of nothing. That is why we say God is omnipotent, because we need, if you want to make a chapati, you need dough. You need atta. But for God, you don't need. He doesn't need. We can create from something, but we cannot create from nothing. The phrase is creation ex nihilo. That means from nothing, God creates something. You know, Abraham, in chapter 17, God appeared to him, and he said, he appeared to him like this, I am El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. You know why? He said, your wife is going to have a child. And he was already 95 years old. His wife was already 90 years old. Scientifically, it is not possible. Humanly, it is not possible, but it is not impossible with God, because God is omnipotent. And that is why God said, I can create. And He just, you know, the following year, as He said, Sarah gave birth to Isaac. You know, God is able to do all these powerful things. In Matthew 19:26, Jesus asks, is there anything impossible with God? There is nothing impossible with God. One thing I like you to take with you today, like you did last week, is, you know, God is omnipotent. And the person you have put your trust in is not a person you carry around. It's not a person you have to go and visit him every month and climbing some far place or going to a far place, but the person you have put your trust in, you have decided to follow, is able to create anything without anything. And He is able to make you cross something like a Red Sea. And He is able to strike a rock and feed you, make you drink water. And He can just command the clouds or the sky, and they can just drop food for you. That is the person you have come to follow. That is our God. So, the question is, what must we know as a child of God? What must we know as a child of God? We have to ask, so what is it? Just as Moses accessed God's power, we have the access to God's power. Just as Moses could call on God when he was, you know, cornered, when his back was against the wall, when he was in a hard and rough place, He was able to call God, and the same God you have trusted, and He is not a respecter of people. He is not the one who will listen only to Moses, and He will not listen to Subhash. He will listen to Moses, and He will listen to Subhash. Anyone, everyone who calls on Him, His ears are not deaf, and His hands are not shortened. His hands are still stretched, and His ears are open to our cry. We can call on Him. In John 1:12, I'd like to read that one. It's a very powerful passage. You know, Moses was able to call on God because he had a relationship with Him. He had a relationship with God. God called Moses when he was in the wilderness from the bush, and He commanded him to go and deliver the people. And the same way, God is giving us the same option to access to the power in John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. He says, "Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, children not born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God." You and me have that access when we choose to believe in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I do not want anyone in our friendship circle, in our circle of influence, who does not have an access to this power. It is everyone and anyone can have. You don't need to be part of one class of people, one caste group of people, or, you know, one particular region. No. Anyone and everyone can become the child of God. When you are a child of God, you don't need to be afraid of calling on Him, but you can call on Him anytime and every time. Your back is against the wall. Whenever you have difficulty, when you encounter that Red Sea, you can call on Him and He will come. You can say, "This poor man cried. The Lord heard him and delivered him from all his troubles." And you will be able to say, "My heavenly Father's ears are not deaf, and His hands are not shortened. They are ever stretched to help me." Nothing is impossible with God. The second important thing, when we say, what is it for me when God is omnipotent, when God is all-powerful? This is what it is. None of the power in this world can defeat us when we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. None of the power, Pharaoh at the back, natural force in the front, inability to make food or buy food, or, you know, anything, illness or anything, has power over us when we have access to this power, that omnipotent power. I will read a passage for you here. It is one of my favorite passages. And finally, I would say the whole Bible is my favorite. This is a very powerful passage, Romans chapter 8. You know what I'm going to read. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and following. 8:28 says like this, "And we know that all things God work for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified." Then the next one is a rhetorical question from Paul. "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us?" When we have this access to this omnipotent, all-powerful God, who can be against us? And Paul lists so many things here. He says, "Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor power, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all the creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. People use this passage for various things. But this is my question. When you have access through Jesus Christ to this omnipotent God, no power in this world will be able to defeat you. Someone said, you know, unless we give permission, no one is going to defeat you. Some people will say, that man discouraged, that woman discouraged. If you don't give permission for that person to discourage you, you will never be discouraged. You should always, you know, I was recently challenged to hear a valedictory speech. A girl who was asked to speak for the valedictory speech, she was with her regalia, graduation regalia. She came and she removed her hat and just put a crown. And she said, I'm speaking now as a princess. Not as a student, but as a princess. And she said, I am going to go to college not as a student, but I'm going to go as a princess. And because my Heavenly Father is the King, and no situation is going to defeat me, because I am a powerful God, powerful person. And I want to tell you something today. If you have made God, this omnipotent God, as your Heavenly Father, much more than Moses. Moses had to remove his sandals to access God's presence. People had to stay behind the curtain because God's presence is so powerful. If someone had touched at that time, kind of unexpectedly, unintentionally, still they would get killed. But because of our Lord Jesus Christ, the curtain is removed. Because of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are not standing before God as trembling, but we are standing before God and calling Him Father. And we are standing before God to enjoy the warmth of His love. Who can separate us? Unless we let people defeat us. Who can defeat us? You know, I have witnessed my own eyes. When we walk with the gospel, with the power of the gospel and the authority of God, the evil spirits will get disturbed. People who are possessed by evil spirits, they just leave. The evil spirits leave these people and run away. I have first-handedly experienced. I have first-handedly experienced the power of God in small matters to bigger matters. And there will be a lot of people here who have experienced much more than that. Some of the experiences I'd like to tell. One day I was in a railway station. And I had an assistant who was helping me carrying the bag. And suddenly I got the ticket and looked for this guy. He wasn't there. All my certificates. And we had a little bit of money. And my wife's gold. And our daughter was not there at the time. Our son's clothes and everything had gone. And I was in the middle of the sea of people. It was 9 o'clock. There was green light. And people say, even if the prime minister comes, and the railway will not stop because they have to maintain the time, they will leave. But I prayed to God. Only one word I said. Only one sentence. Lord, this train is not going to go without me being inside, because the following day we were going to a different place. And I was having fever and I was physically weak. And suddenly I lost, you know, gold is fine, money is fine, clothes is fine. My certificates, because getting those certificates is next to impossible. I prayed, God, this train is not going to go until I get into the train. 9:10, 9:15, 9:20 in the evening, 9:25. And I was running around. And this boy, who was curious to see the train, he went very close to the engine with all my bags. And he was standing there. And believe it or not, for 25 minutes, this green light was still steady. And this green light doesn't stay for more than 2 minutes because the train goes and it changes to red. And that was my experience, one of the several experiences I saw there. And I ran to the railway station, ran into the train, threw my bags, and I got in. Before God, I'm telling you, the train just moved. The train just moved. Train may not stop for prime minister or president, but when God's people call, God stops. Just like He made a wall of water and make people walk in the dry ground. Are you challenged by your situation? Are you challenged by the difficulties that you are going through? One thing you should know, that God is actively working in you. He wants to reveal who He is. He wants to show He has the power to separate the Red Sea and make you walk. Are you willing to cry before Him? When I was the beginning stages of my seminary studies, I had very little money, less than a dollar, not here, back in India in 1991. My son was just 1 year, 3 months old. And there was no money. No family. No security. No known people. I could not speak the language. And the people who promised to send money was not coming in. And I looked at my son. My wife and I could, stay away from food for 3 days, 4 days. But how can we manage with our child, son? I knelt down and prayed. Only once so far I have prayed for my money. The money that was going to come, it delayed for a week, and I was just praying, Lord, I need this money today. I need to buy milk for my son. And I prayed, and I prayed. That is the first day and last day I cried before God for my money. And there was a knock at the door. The man who, he was from a post office. It's called as a speed service, and he was with the check. I'm speaking to you behind the cross. I don't want to tell you anything that did not happen. From small thing to bigger things, God is able to provide. Because we are believing in the Almighty God. Almighty God. There is more power. When I was in school, high school, whenever I had fight with my friends, I would call my brothers. They would come and overpower them. And now, when we are confronted with real life, when you are in college, when you are in a field, in an unknown place, when you don't have money, when you don't have a place to just trust in, when you are looking for an employment, when you don't have an influence or recommendation, don't worry. You have a bigger person. He can make things happen for you. I will keep on talking, but I want to tell you, God cares for you. There is a verse in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. It says, cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. Cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. Much more than a father, mother. Much more than anyone else. My father. He's also, we can call mother. You can call him brother, sister. Whatever you need at the time, he's there. When Abraham wondered something, God provider. He called God Jehovah Jireh. God, my provider. How do we handle crises that are beyond our ability to handle today? How do we handle a crisis? I'd like to leave two things with you. This is the sermon point today. Make sure that you are
where God wants you to be.
God wanted people of Israel to be in the wilderness so that they could witness the parting of the Red Sea and destruction of the people of Egypt, or the defeating of Pharaoh and his army. If they had stayed somewhere else, if they had stayed back in Egypt, they would have missed out on something spectacular we still talk about. Today I want to ask you and challenge you. If you want to handle your crisis the way Moses handled, letting God handle your crisis, you need to be where God wants you to be. Sometime, you may be like Jonah. God said, go to Nineveh, but you are heading towards Tarshish. Is there anyone here today heading towards Tarshish thinking that you are a brilliant man or a brilliant woman, that you know you have the way to escape from God? Psalmist says in Psalm 134, 39, whither shall I go from your presence, Lord? I go up there, you are there. I go down deep into the ocean, you are there, because you are omnipresent. Are you in God's place where God wants you to be? You know, it may not be promising to you. It may not be attractive to you. It may not be the popular one you to be. But like wilderness was not the right place. In the place where they confronted or where they experienced God was the deadly place. That is where God comes in. That you will appreciate so much. So make sure, from wherever you have gone, come back to God. You know, sometime you may say, I can hide from God. We are so much afraid of our colleagues. We are so much afraid of our spouse. And we don't want to do things in front of them. We want to be, you know, we want to put a good face before them. But we don't know that our God is an omniscient God. He sees us in and out, and we are far away. Although physically we are in the place where we want to be, but we emotionally and spiritually and, you know, in our mind, we are somewhere else. In a bad relationship or in a sinful place where you cannot bring glory to God. You will not be able to see the glory of God. You will not be able to experience God as your omnipotent God unless you come to the place where He has, you know, where you can experience Him. And second one, cry out in desperation. You know, whenever my children need something, they will not go to someone else and cry. You know, when my daughter had a fight in school when she was 1 year old, and she broke someone else's glass, and that girl scratched, and you know, it scratched her eye, and it was so painful, she didn't cry in the school. She came running, and she saw me from far, and she just screamed, and she said, Papa, and she came and hugged me. For 5 minutes she was just crying. You know why? She can come and cry to me. The pain was too much. It was burning for her. But she waited and waited and waited until she came to the Father. You have a Father you can always come to. Why do you carry your burden? That is why Jesus said, come unto me, all who are heavy laden. I will give you rest. You know, how do we cry? You know, you may ask, cry in desperation. How? The first one is, do not try to handle your situation with your strength. If it has gone out of your hand, if it is too difficult, don't try to handle it yourself. And the second one is, don't give up. You know, don't give up. Because the best blessings come from the worst situations. You can either be destroyed or you can be recreated. There is a passage with that I will close in Isaiah chapter 40. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they will mount up with wings, and they will go from one height to other height, just like the eagles. You want to go up? You want to be delivered from your situation? Don't give up. And don't handle it yourself. Take time, if possible, fasting. If possible, asking someone, a few other people to come and pray with you. And just cry to God. And cry in desperation. Sahak is desperation. God who heard David, God who heard Moses, will cry your cry. Let's just pray for a minute.